Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Upstate. It is a Thursday edition of Straight Up with Sturge. Diesel and I are live in the studio, and I have no clue what that is out there, but it looks like a little sunshine here. Now, you go look back in the distance, you see gray overcast skies. But let's take this for what it is right now. I mean, I'm not sure I've seen that in a week, Diesel. So let's go out there and have a little dance and enjoy this. And the fact that there's not water coming out of the sky, but there's water coming out of people's eyes at this point. Tears as college basketball got set on its ear last night. You know, just as we talk about from time to time on this show, sometimes you're completely wrong. You know, we talked over and over again about one thing you can count on is that's going to be a close game, even game when it comes to Duke, North Carolina. Last night, there's a lot of storylines that went on in that Duke, North Carolina game, but they're all off the court, if you will, 33 seconds on the court. And Zion Williamson's down on the ground with a knee injury. And tell you what, the guy that paid, what, $9,000 for tickets about 7 p.m. last night enjoyed 33 seconds of Zion Williamson. Now, not a major knee injury. It is a sprained knee for Zion. Of course, everybody's going to have an opinion, and we will allow yours today on what Zion should do moving forward. All I got to say is I'm not his mother, I'm not his father, and I'm not Zion. So everybody's opinion can be what it is, but in all reality, those are the only three that have any say in it, maybe his upcoming agent as well. So should he play, should he not play? Should he play, should he not play? We'll find out later on, but it was interesting, no doubt about it. It was a crazy night in college basketball as a whole. North Carolina going in and pounding Duke and Cameron Indoor Stadium the way they did. I didn't see that one coming. Got to give Luke May a lot of credit. He got off to a quick start right there, and North Carolina never looked back. And now people are saying that Duke's not even a national title contender without Zion Williamson at this point. But the reality is you go over Twitter, you listen across the airwaves of any radio show, everybody has an opinion if Zion should play another minute for the Duke Blue Devils and what's going to go on. So, you know, the question today, it brings it up inevitably. Why can't Zion already be in the NBA right now? You know, that's what people want. Oh, it's about the players. You know, it is un-American not to allow these guys to go exercise their right and go get paid immediately. I can agree with that to a certain extent. Here's what I want y'all's opinion on throughout the day is, do we do this about allowing a, you know, generational player in Zion Williamson the opportunity to go on to the pros? Is this about him and that opportunity, the one player that comes down the line every once in a while? You know, we haven't really had this kind of attention in college basketball since or attention on a basketball player since LeBron James came out. So is it about allowing these kids the opportunity to go exercise their right and go earn their income? Or is it simply about, are we protecting against the Sebastian Telfairs? Because I'll make the case for every Zion Williamson, for every LeBron James, you've got at least eight Sebastian Telfairs. And my question is, for you, Diesel, do you even know who Sebastian Telfair is?
I know the name, but the story escapes me.
Went directly from high school to the NBA when he wasn't ready physically or anything. Zion's the enigma. There aren't very many people like LeBron and Zion Williamson that are 18 years old with that type of body that they can make the jump directly to the NBA. Those are generational type players. Sebastian Telfair's in jail. Made it maybe a year into the league, you know, before he was cut, went through the. Now he's in jail. So is this about allowing that generational player in Zion Williamson the opportunity to go ahead and you know, take his talents to the NBA? Or do we protect and put a rule in, Diesel, where we don't have 10 Sebastian Telfairs or more for every one player that can go on and do it? Because you know as well as I do, oh, I told you Zion can do it, but it's going to be society's fault in the long run for letting these kids at 18 years old go to the NBA, and now their career is over and their afterthoughts before they're even legal drinking age. So what do we do? I mean, this is the parental aspect. I don't know. Everybody's got an opinion, but you have to listen. I'm not feeling bad for Zion if he never plays another minute for the Duke Blue Devils. This one and done year for him has benefited him. He got some coaching from the greatest of all time, maybe in you know, a year on a college campus to grow up. There, Zion Williamson is not a victim like DeMarcus Cousins wants to make him out to be. But again, for every Zion, there's going to be 10 to 12 Sebastian Telfairs that have the wrong people in their ear asking and telling them what to do. And then at 21 years old, they have no future, their money, people have shoved them off to the side. That's when we're going to be responsible as a society for this kind of stuff going on. So I don't get it. We're caught in the middle. In my opinion, this is damned if you do, damned if you don't. So we'll take your opinions on it throughout the show today. You can get in with us on that. Also at 4:37, we're going to talk with one of the hottest basketball coaches, if not the hottest basketball coach in the country. That's over at Wofford College. Mike Young's going to join us. Remember, Furman and Wofford getting together at 4 p.m. on Saturday at Timmons Arena. Also at 5:20, we're going to talk with our buddy Jim Hart from AP Radio, covers the Braves in the National League East. We'll give you a Bryce Harper update as well. Top of the 6 p.m. hour is Gary McDaniel from Clemson Sports News, and we are out at 6:45 tonight for Michigan-Minnesota basketball. So that's what's coming up on the show. We're going to talk about the XFL a little bit today. You know, it's been about all the conversation when it comes to pro football, if you will, the last couple of weeks has been about the Alliance of American Football and the Upstart. The wild thing about this, Diesel, is, you know, everybody out there have an opinion right now about Zion. You know, Zion should have been in the XFL's getting ready to put football on its ear. And I will tell you this much. Do you think Vince McMahon, of all people, wants to fail twice? So guess what? They are going to, you watch, mark my words, they're going to try to get some kids straight out of high school or out of junior college or get people to leave after their freshman year in college football, because Vince McMahon is not going to go into anything knowing that he's going to fail a second time. He will set it on its ears before he does it.
The problem with that becomes quality of play. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a massive lack of quality of play. How many NFL castaways do we think there really are that are good enough that people will want to see and will want to spend money on?
How many 19-year-olds in football?
Yeah, why would I pay to go see glorified high school football?
Right, but do you not think the XFL is going to go out? I mean, granted, the timing for Trevor Lawrence will not work out with him, but they've already floated his name. That's what we want to go after for a freshman quarterback, because we can put him into a pro system with pro coaching and benefit him for later on in life. So they're going to go straight after. They are not going to work with the NFL. The Alliance of American Football has already basically said we're willing to be the minor leagues for the NFL. So I'm telling you right now, watch what the XFL does. They are going to play by their own set of rules. And guess what? It kind of all rolls into this entire Zion conversation. Because for every player that might be 19 years old or after his freshman year in college, a Herschel Walker back in the day, there's going to be 15 of them that aren't. But I don't want to go to school. I want to get paid. And their career is going to be over by the time they're 22 years old. So we sometimes in life, Diesel, it's part of being a parent. It's not about the ability to make a decision. Sometimes it's about protecting the ability to make a bad decision. Does that make any sense?
Well, I mean, you can't play parent to all these kids. You got to let people make the mistakes that they're going to make.
That's it. But guess what? In today's age, it's all going to come back being reflective on society. This wasn't a bad decision on their part. We should have never allowed this to happen. The wrong people were lit. The reality is there's no perfect world. All right. Looking forward to getting into a few things. We'll open up the phone lines on the other side. Remember, you can hit us up on the Health Dare text line. That's 71307. You can put ESPN at the front of the text. We'll get that out. Plus, the call-in number, 844-477-3776. But, Diesel, between Zion going down last night, real quickly, I just want to send our best wishes to Jim Boeheim, Syracuse basketball coach. I don't know if you saw this story, but, you know, they had a big home win, about 16 points over Louisville last night. Jim Boeheim was driving home after the game. Apparently a car on the interstate in Syracuse had smashed against the guardrail, and there were multiple people in that car. One got out, was walking on the interstate. Jim Boeheim came along and hit him and killed him. There will be no charges filed against Jim Boeheim. Wow. There was no alcohol in his system. But I've had that happen to a friend of mine. 25 years later, that's still hanging over his head, even though he did nothing wrong. Yeah. And there was no way. It haunts you. So a lot of people like to take aim at Jim Boeheim, 74 years old, not the nicest man. He did nothing wrong last night, and guess what? That's still going to haunt him for quite a long time. So it just shows that you can be in the wrong place at the wrong time. All right, your opinions are welcome at 844-GSP-ESPN. Don't forget, you can follow us on Twitter at ESPN Upstate. At your own risk, you can follow Sports Talk's most decent producer at Diesel, at Captain D. That's at Diesel on Radio, and me at Sturgis Sports. And listen, got some cool stuff coming up. We're going to be able to incorporate here in a couple of weeks, getting it all put back together, our Hank's Beverages 12-pack of knowledge contest. Talked with those fine people in Philadelphia yesterday. So a lot of cool stuff coming up. But, again, 6:45 tonight, we'll give way. Diesel tomorrow, no clue. Right now, if this was tomorrow, guess what? We would not be on the air right now, because Clemson does have a 4 p.m. first pitch scheduled with BMI for tomorrow. Mother Nature will determine. So we don't know if we'll be on the air at 4. We don't know if we'll be giving way to the Clemson Network at 3:30. It may be that, you know, you got to throw back to the studio amongst some rain. But I know this much, for the first time in a little while, at least there's no tears falling from the sky. So when we come back, your thoughts on Zion Williamson. Do we allow people to just go straight from high school to the NBA? Are we responsible for possibly protecting not quite mature adults, young adults? Is it our responsibility at all to protect them from a bad decision if people don't have this their opinion? So 844-GSP-ESPN. Get in. So Zion Williamson, he's out for a little while. Sprained knee, at least it wasn't more than that. Diesel, you know, we've seen how competitive the shoe situation is. You know, the Adidas thing going on in college basketball, Nike, blah, blah, blah. Did you see Puma? First of all, Puma, however, you know, depending. They tweet out to right after Zion gets hurt, more or less, hey, if you were wearing our shoes, that wouldn't have happened. It's since been deleted. I mean, it's unbelievable how far-reaching the effects of last night went. First we got Delvin, then we got Steven. Delvin, welcome in. I hope you're having a good afternoon.
I'm having a good afternoon. First of all, they don't need to be blaming Nike. They need to blame Paul George. It's his shoe. So I'll talk to Paul George.
Well, you know, here's the deal. Even President Obama was caught going, his shoe broke. I mean, listen, not a whole lot of basketball players are 6'7", 285 pounds. You know, my opinion, that's just a bigger version of the round mound to rebound back in the day, Charles Barkley.
Yeah, you know, Paul George going to get asked about it because he's going to say, man, what happened to your shoe, man, last night? You know you're going to get asked about it. You're going to have to ask a question about it. But, Man, it was a like you said, they scored 62 points in the paint. North Carolina did when Zion went out. So they North Carolina knew they were going what their game plan was. Then you had the tragic news late last night with Jim Boeheim. Mm-hmm. Man, that's just sad.
Yeah, and you know he won't be charged. There was no alcohol in his system. And this actually happened to a friend of mine 25, 28 years ago. Very similar situation. Something that has haunted him for the rest of his life, and he never did anything wrong. There was nothing he could do about it. And a lot of people take their shots at Jim Boeheim. Listen, my thoughts and prayers not only with him, but the Jimenez family as well.
Yeah, yeah, because you say like you said, they went on alcohol. He was trying to avoid the earlier accident. It was the accident before that he tried to avoid it. Yeah. You know, And I know we talk about college basketball. What did you get your take on Jerry Kill blasting PJ Fleck?
That's,
what do you think about his comments? I take my call.
Thanks, Delvin. That was interesting yesterday. First of all, Jerry Kill's a class act. Former Minnesota head coach, Minnesota Golden Gopher head football coach. You know, he had to give up his job due to health reasons. He was 29 and 28 in his career at Minnesota, kind of built it back up after going there from the University of Northern Illinois. And Diesel, P.J. Fleck, now the head coach at Minnesota, was on Jerry Kill's staff earlier in his career. And Jerry Kill just blasted him yesterday or 2 days ago about this guy's only about himself. It is only about P.J. Fleck. It's not about the kids, not about anything else. You don't normally hear a coach blasting the coach that took over his job. Kind of interesting, but let's get back to the phone line. Steven wants to talk about Zion. Steven, I hope you're having a good afternoon.
Hey, mine's good. Before I talk about Zion, I just got to point out, even though I'm a Polish-American West Pointer, just like Coach K, is there anything better than the Argyle of North Carolina? I can't think of anything.
It is the only thing of North Carolina that I really like. I am not a fan of North Carolina, but the color scheme's pretty cool, but that Argyle and everything else, they do as good of a job with their college basketball uniforms as anyone.
I agree. I like the stripe down the football helmet, too, of the Argyle. But anyway, so I'm one that thinks that Zion should just shut it down for the rest of the season because there's too much on the line. I think he secured his Nike contract last night, too, in an unfortunate way. But whether or not we should let the players do this, I think the NBA, they ruined college basketball by making it the one – or turning it into one and done. And I know they've talked about saying, well, maybe – they'll make guys play 2 years. I say either no requirement or what I would rather see, and I think the NFL could really buy into this, I would love to see the NBA or the NFL say, you want to play in our league? You come in with a bachelor's degree. What do you think about that?
Oh, that will never happen because I'm with you. I could do it, but unfortunately that's putting something, Steven, on the heads that a lot of kids are never going to get accomplished. Here's how I would fix it. All right, at least when it comes to basketball, college basketball, either go pro or you're going to college for a minimum of 2 years. It's up to you to which commitment that you want. Enough of these Sebastian, again, I'm not blasting, but that's a name I will never forget, Sebastian Telfair. For every one Zion Williamson, there'll be 15 Sebastian Telfairs. Now, the problem is, once those start racking up, maybe people will make smarter decisions. But my problem is, for an 18-year-old to make that decision, he's got handlers in his ears. He's got parents in the ear. People that maybe don't have his best interest at heart. But we got into it yesterday. That should be parenting that takes on. But sometimes parents don't necessarily have their best interest at heart. It's all about the money. It's all about the money. But yeah, go 2 years or don't, or go straight to the NBA. But you can't have it both ways. The one and done's not good for college basketball, and I don't think it's good for the NBA. At least 2 years in college brings in somebody that's a little more emotionally ready to go handle the stress of A, that kind of money, B, the travel. I mean, it is a reward for being talented, but it's not also the easiest lifestyle out there as well. So going to be interesting, no doubt about it. But I don't know how you fix it, Diesel. This is a great country. It's the best country on the face of this earth, in my opinion. But for every time that it's going to work out for Zion, I still keep coming back to history suggests 10 others it's not going to happen for, and are we responsible for those? Because if your dream is to make it to the NBA, support your family, all the people around you, you go straight into the league at 18, your career's over at 21. If you're not ready for that, you're going to be a problem. Like multiple of these guys out of the league that are now in prison because they grew up in a vacuum. They grew up in a bubble. 21 years old, you're out the door, you're waste, blah, blah, blah. Your life is, oh, no, your life is just beginning at that point. So I don't know where we go. You know, here's the deal. It's about freedom. It's about the players. But sometimes you got to protect young people from making a bad decision. It's going to be interesting, no doubt about it. So, you know, the other thing that happened in college basketball last night, we mentioned Jim Boeheim. Did y'all catch the end of the Mississippi State-Georgia game? You want to talk about a wild ending. The game was tied at 67 with a half a second left in Mississippi State at the free throw line. Someone in the stands, you know, Georgia wasn't happy. Tom Crean wasn't happy with that call. Someone in the stands threw a stuffed animal, I think it was, out on the court with a half a second left. The officials tee up the Georgia crowd. Mississippi State gets additional free throws on that technical foul. They make one and get out of Athens with a 68-67 win. Now, the SEC released the following statement this morning. Says, quote, anytime an object or debris is thrown onto the court, there's a potential for a technical foul to be assessed. Issuing a warning after an object is thrown on the playing surface is not required per NCAA rule 10-2.8, but may be issued at the discretion of the game officials. The game officials are charged with the responsibility for determining which team's followers threw an object on the court. In last night's game, it was the judgment of the officials that the act was committed by a follower of the home team, resulting in a technical foul assessed to said home team. You better be 100% positive on this one. Can you imagine being at a Duke, North Carolina game where there's 1,000 North Carolina fans and one of the North Carolina fans threw something on the court, but the officials assumed, since it was in Cameron Indoor Stadium, it was Duke, and they call it to – a half a second left in a heated moment like that, Diesel, I issue the warning, I don't call the technical foul. I don't do it. I mean, a half a second, go to overtime and let these kids decide it during overtime if that's the case. So it was a crazy, crazy, crazy evening in college basketball last night. Again, Zion goes down 33 seconds into the game. Fortunately, it's not an ACL. It's a sprained knee. And we'll find out later if he's coming back this year or not. But one team that is hot, they aren't worried about coming back, but they are coming down here to Greenville on Saturday. That is the Wofford Terriers. Head coach Mike Young's going to join us when we come back. Terriers 15-0 in the Southern Conference, 23-4 on the season, sitting at a number 8 seed right now in our buddy Shelby Mass Bracketology. Big game on Saturday at Furman at 4 p.m. Wofford head coach Mike Young, when we return, is Straight Up with Sturge. We're live in studio. You know, everybody wanted to talk about Duke, North Carolina last night, one of the best basketball games in the country this weekend, right here in the upstate of South Carolina, Timmins Arena, Wofford College at Furman on Saturday. We're joined by Wofford head basketball coach Mike Young, his 17th season with the Terriers, three-time Southern Conference Coach of the Year, the Hugh Durham National Coach of the Year back in 2010. And Coach Young, you got maybe the hottest squad in college basketball right now, 15-0 in SoCon. Great start to the season. Did you see this coming?
No, gosh, no. I knew I had a really good team. But 23-4, whatever we are, 15-0, absolutely not. That's too many landmines as you go through league play. Any league is hard, and you know, go to places that we've gone, and you know, play good basketball and win is difficult to, you know, maintain that that level of excellence. And, you know, every time you go out there, I don't care who you're playing, it's going to be difficult. But we've strung together a couple of really nice months and having a really good time with it.
Absolutely. And one of the biggest things was, of course, senior Fletcher McGee coming back. He's averaging over 20 points a game right now. But I keep going back to the game at East Tennessee State a couple of weeks ago. Ends up in overtime. Every time Wofford needed a play, boom, Fletcher McGee was there, or Cameron Jackson. And that's what I've enjoyed about your team. I mean, there's really 8-9 players contributing to Wofford basketball.
Yeah, we're playing 10 regularly and just got a young man back that's been hurt. I mean, he's a really good player, had a heck of a year for us a year ago. And, you know, we could play on any given night, we could play 11 guys. And those guys have really come into their own. I call them the 1A and 1B. And that that 1B team, you know, we were on the road at East Tennessee, who was really, really good a couple of weeks ago. And we're playing great. It's a 5-6 point game. 10-minute mark first half, and put that next bunch in, and they went on a 10-0 run and kind of got things, you know, solidified. And we went on from there and won. They have given us a tremendous lift, aggressive kids, and some kids that can score the ball. So they've helped us tremendously.
As we continue with head coach Mike Young of the Wofford Terriers, 23-4 on the year, 15-0 in Southern Conference. A big matchup on Saturday, 4 p.m. at Timmins Arena. It will be a packed house. And, Coach, you know, I, this much I don't like. Y'all are done with your home schedule. You know, you're at Furman. Yeah. You had this week off. You're at Furman on Saturday. You close up next week at Chattanooga, at Sanford, and, of course, what's going to be an awesome tournament in Nashville. So is it good to have one game this week and have it at Furman before y'all hit the road for the rest of the year?
Yeah, I kind of like that. You know, not a bad time for, you know, an open date. And we took Sunday off. We practiced Monday. We took Tuesday off, and – you know, we have devoted or will devote yesterday, today, and Friday to get our preparation for Furman. That part I like. To play your last home game on, I think, February 25th, mm-hmm. February 15th is less than ideal. But, you know, sometimes that works out well for you, sometimes not so well. That's a schedule they gave us, you know. It's a schedule we are we're going to play, and we're 9-0 at home in league play. That's you know, we're proud of that. 6-0 on the road, and we got to go out there 3 more times and give ourselves a shot to win each time out. We hope.
Head coach Mike Young of the Wofford Terriers, Mike, looking across the SoCon standings here, you got 4 teams that are 11-4 or better in conference. You've got 4 teams that have 21 or more wins on the season as a whole. I'm going to ask you the same question that I asked your colleague Bob Ritchie over at Furman. If you are in, if you're in the league office up in Spartanburg at the SoCon league offices, what do you say? What do you want them to say to the tournament committee to try to get more than one team in there? Because clearly, the SoCon is better than just a one bid league.
Yeah, and I'm not sure that I don't know how all that works. I don't know that Commissioner Amorino, you know, has. I'm not sure that that's even appropriate to talk to committee members. You know, I mean, it's an unbelievable amount of information that those people have, you know, on that weekend as they start putting that thing together. We'll have a shot. We'll have a shot to have 2 teams, you know, Furman, Greensboro, East Tennessee, and goodness only knows how the thing will play out once we get to Asheville. I do think that there are 5, maybe 6 that could, you know, string 3 wins together, 4 wins together, and win the thing. I do think our league deserves two bids to the thing, but let me assure you this, guys, they're not going to be calling me asking me for my opinion. So I'll keep my head down, keep trucking along. And, you know, again, trying to get a little bit better and continue to win games. That's the only thing we can control.
That is true. But, Coach, is it nice for your players? Is it nice to already know that y'all are the only team in the country right now that's got a guaranteed postseason berth and the fact that you are the regular season champion?
Yeah, I didn't know where you were going with that. It took me a second there. We are assured of postseason play, being the regular season champion. We're assured, we're guaranteed no less than the NIT, and we've never done that. We played in the big one four times, and there's nothing like that experience, and that's certainly the goal of this team. A lot of great things happening, a lot of great practices, and a really a fun team to coach and to be with every day, and we think we've got a lot left in the tank and look forward to what lies ahead. You know, that one on Saturday will be a great game. They're a really good basketball team, and it'll be hard fought. It'll be fun.
Yeah, no doubt. Final question for you, Coach. It is unbelievable the facility that you now have at Wofford College in the Jerry Richardson Indoor Stadium. I remember even Tommy Bowden back in the day saying, once we got those plans up for the West End Zone, recruiting turned around. Has that made Fletcher McGee, those guys were here back in the Benjo days, you know what I mean? But are you starting to see a direct reflection of that facility that you have, which I think might be the nicest in all of mid-major basketball? Is that becoming a recruiting tool for Wofford College basketball?
It has been. There's a lot that goes into it. Are we continuing, or can we continue to get the right guy?
Right.
There's a lot of good players out there. Are we getting the guy that fits us and how we want to play and how we do things here, but it's a magnificent facility, and to walk in there every day is a real treat for me and our staff, our players, and it certainly turns heads when we have a young man on campus from the Midwest, from Atlanta, South Carolina. They walk in for the first time, and it's awe-inspiring, and the reactions are pretty cool to see. So it certainly has benefited our recruiting. We've been getting good players for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope to continue to do that. We have no excuses. We've got to the best of everything, in my opinion. Great education, great city, and certainly the facility and the program, I think, speaks for itself. So, we're proud of that.
Well, you should be. Coach, thanks for everything you do. We look forward to seeing you and the Wofford Terriers on Saturday. Best of luck. We'll also be up in Asheville broadcasting at the Southern Conference Tournament. So congratulations. It's not how you begin. It's how you end. And let's end this up strong.
Thanks a bunch. I wish you well.
Thank you. There's Wofford head coach Mike Young. 17 years on the job. Think about this, Diesel. Here is his legacy. He was an assistant coach at Radford from in 1988-1989. That's where he he's from, up there in Virginia. In 1989, he became Richard Johnson's top assistant at Wofford, and he's been there ever since. Been the head coach the last 17 years.
I love asking coaches that question because they normally can't answer. They all say the same thing. I don't know. I don't think I could say anything. All we can do is win. I'm like, yeah, but I'm not asking you to campaign.
Right.
What if you were in the league office? How would you campaign?
Oh, he's back there going, yes, go out there, because those coaches, listen, that would be a big, big boost for them on
Absolutely.
The recruiting trail to be able to go, hey, man. We're always considered by the powers that be in college basketball a one-bid league. Look at us now. That would help them tremendously. All right, open phones till 5:20. We're going to talk a little Major League Baseball with Jim Hart from AP Radio. Bryce Harper, is he going to set the record? Always a lot of fun catching up with Wofford head coach Mike Young. Appreciate him. Make sure, if you want tickets, I guarantee you can go pay for tickets outside of Timmins Arena on Saturday. Probably not going to run you $4,000 a piece as whatever some people were paying last night in Durham for that ball game. But it's going to be a big, big weekend. And listen, here's the way it breaks down for the Southern Conference. Wofford, of course, in the lead, your regular season champion, 15-0, 23-4. You've got UNC Greensboro at 11-3. Furman and East Tennessee State at 11-4. As Diesel mentioned, all four of those teams have more than 20 wins. Wofford's 23, Greensboro 22, Furman 22, East Tennessee State is going to have 21. That's why up in Asheville in a couple of weeks for that Southern Conference tournament is going to be a blast. So, again, looking forward to that. And, of course, Clemson, the only thing about that makes me feel positive about Clemson's chances at this point is the fact that the bottom end, the back end of the field of this year's NCAA tournament is pretty weak. You know what I mean? So with their closing schedule of Boston College at Pitt, North Carolina at home, at Notre Dame, and then Syracuse at home to close it out. And listen, Syracuse, big win over Louisville last night. Possibly if you could go 4-1 out of these final five games, that would get you to 500 in the ACC and with a win in the ACC tournament, 20 wins. But, I mean, the margin for error for Clemson basketball at this point, really, really small. Now, South Carolina, 14-12, 9-4 on the season. They still trail the Tigers in the RPI, but the Gamecocks are playing their best basketball at the right time of the year, as evidenced by that 15-point win over Ole Miss on Tuesday night. Saturday at 6 p.m. at Mississippi State, the Bulldogs got a win on the road at Georgia last night in that crazy, crazy ending. So, South Carolina closes with Alabama at home next week, at Missouri next weekend, and then the final week of the regular season at Texas A&M, and then Georgia at home. And I could sit here and make the case, even South Carolina can win Saturday night at Mississippi State. They'll close out the season with all win. And listen, they will be in the NCAA tournament at that point. But you can only take them one, as the old adage goes, one game at a time, because it's going to be interesting. All right, don't forget, college baseball all over the place. It's being rained out. Furman had to alter their weekend series. They were supposed to have the LaSalle Explorers in town, but due to travel and everything else, that series got canceled. So the Furman Paladins and Coach Brett Harker pick up a series, I believe, with Gardner-Webb, and they'll play a doubleheader on Saturday. We don't know how that will affect us tomorrow. Clemson has a three-game series set with VMI, 4 p.m. first pitch tomorrow. We'll know. But Diesel, did you notice some of the stars in attendance last night at Cameron Indoor Stadium? I mean, Spike Lee was there, Carolina Panthers tight end Greg Olsen, but the biggest one that was there, if you will, was number 44, and that's former President Barack Obama. Did you see what the cameras caught him saying when Zion Williamson went down? Quote, unquote, his shoe broke. I could think his shoe blew out, blah, blah, blah.
It's hard-hitting analysis right there. Give that guy a job in broadcasting.
His shoe broke. Have you ever heard that before? I mean, it was cameras caught him saying his shoe broke.
Was his shoe made out of the same stuff that the kid in the Sandlot's first glove was made out of?
Yeah, exactly.
Tried to catch a fly ball and just broke it because it was made out of plastic?
It's going to be funny, but this is – I don't know if you recognize the name Sonny Vaccaro, but he was the first that kind of got into the whole – back in the day, camps and shoe contracts and things of that nature. This is what Sonny Vaccaro had to say about Nike's problems last night. Quote, for a shoe to fall apart, completely fall apart, and it came in one of the most highly anticipated games in a long time. This magnifies it. There was no NBA game going on, and Zion had as much hype as anyone in quite a while. Tickets were going for thousands of dollars. The moons and the stars aligned, and everyone in the world saw it. Nike released a statement today. It says, we're obviously concerned and we want to wish Zion a speedy recovery. The quality and performance of our products are of the utmost importance. While this is an isolated occurrence, we are working to identify the issue. So you and I differ, and it's probably a generational thing, but you always say any type of publicity is good publicity. It's advertising. Is this good publicity for Nike that they are all over every Twitter feed, web sports website, sports talk show, and everything else today? Is this a good thing for them?
No. I mean, granted, it's not. We know it's not going to hurt Nike.
No.
It's not going to hurt them at all. You know, it's a freak occurrence. The dude's 280 pounds, and he twisted and landed in a funny way. And who knows? Maybe all it takes is, you know, 1 week stitch.
That's exactly
1 week
right.
Stitch, and the whole thing comes apart because you suddenly have 280 pounds, you know, being forced into this row of stitches. If one or two are bad, then boom. Yeah, the whole thing falls apart.
If this was a 6'3", 200-pound guard, you probably have a problem.
Fine. Yeah, well, sure.
Zion, like you just hit the nail on the head. He's a freak of nature. You know what I mean? He is a full-grown man at 19 years old. That doesn't come along too often.
Oh, somebody's going to launch an inquiry, though. They're going to go in and find the lot of stitching, the thread that was used that day to make sure they didn't use faulty thread. The Illuminati were probably involved. I mean, it's ugly. I saw so many people tweeting that they were boycotting Nike from now on because of what happened.
I mean, you want to know how fast and far this is moving? Nicole Auerbach, who we've had on the show a whole bunch, you know, works for The Athletic now, granddaughter of Red Auerbach, the legendary Boston Celtics coach, just tweeted a couple of minutes. The NBA has submitted to the National Basketball Players Association a formal proposal that will lower the draft eligible age to 18 years old. That's how fast this thing moved. I'm sure that had been in the works, but guess what? This may have very well been the capper. We'll take your opinions, 844-GSP, ESPN. Don't forget, talking Braves in the National League East at 5:20 with our buddy Jim Hart from the AP.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.